This is our final full council meeting of this calendar year, and point out to members and people in the audience that tonight at 5:30 there's going to be a public hearing for the standardized bycatch reporting methodology document from 5:30 to 6:30. So for council members that are looking at the agenda today, you'll realize that the last thing we're going to tackle is our management priorities for next year. That's slated to begin at 4, so that gives us an hour and a half to wrestle through all those issues. So I just bring that up. Any additions or questions about the agenda before we proceed today? Okay. We'll go right into reports. I have a couple of things to bring up. The first thing is that there's a letter in the binder from Frank Almeida concerning the trawl survey and the gear that's been worked on through the trawl survey AP. And they've requested that the council review and provide, I guess, in essence, a motion or a blessing to move forward. They're asking the same thing of the Mid-Atlantic Council as well before they go forward. And discussing this with Paul and a few others, I think the most fitting thing for the council to do would be to get the Trawl Survey Advisory Panel to recommend or provide a motion to the council, and we can take it up at our February council meeting. Phil?
Thank you, John. I think that's exactly the right course to go. We're meeting, the Trawl Panel's meeting, and just ahead of the MIDS meet in a couple of weeks. And that's the essence of the meeting, part of the essence of the meeting and what have you. So we're planning on coming out with a motion to address that issue.
Okay. Thank you. The executive committee met, and it's in your binder as well, behind tab number one, closure number two. And I'll just touch on a couple of issues. Hopefully you've read through it. We spent the majority of our time discussing the priorities, and there's several points in the document that you can review that the executive committee considered. We also, if you remember, at the last council meeting, received a request from Ken Hinman to make a presentation to the council in February, and the executive committee discussed that specific presentation request, but also went into discussing how will the council deal with future requests to provide information or presentations to the council. And we're recommending that at the next executive committee meeting, we develop some policies and procedures to deal with those issues. We also recommend that some presentations that people request to give to the council may not be appropriate for the full council, but perhaps more appropriate for the individual species committee. We also discuss something that we seem to discuss a lot, and that is cell phone usage, meeting attendance, and people leaving the table. I'm going to make every effort I can to take breaks every 90 minutes, and I really appreciate that you keep your cell phone either on vibrate or off during that time and try to attend to your business every 90 minutes. And we also talked about the Recreational Advisory Panel and recommended that they meet to discuss the upcoming whiting issues and also the upcoming groundfish amendment. We also considered the TMGC issues that the council has been grappling with, and we're recommending that the TMGC meet in July prior to meeting with the Canadians, separate from the Canadians, to discuss issues that the TMGC will be working over with the Canadians. And there's other issues that we looked through as well that are all contained in the report. I don't feel the need to go over them all. That's all I have to report. Any questions? Okay, on to Paul.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Got two quick items. A week or so ago, the chairman, the vice chairman, and myself went to Washington, D.C. to meet with National Marine Fisheries Service and all the other seven council chairs, vice chairs, and EDs to talk about primarily budget. Budget situation does not look good, as usual. The councils have been level funded since the year 2000, and we're operating on about a 25% less budget, less working dollars. So as we look towards priorities, you'll see that I had to pay very close attention to how many meetings are scheduled. And you'll see that where in the past we'd hold six or more meetings for a species committee, we can only hold five to get the job done. So you'll see some changes. We're under a continuing, or the federal government is under a continuing resolution. Our budget ends December 31st. Under the first continuing resolution, there was some question about whether or not they can even give us a grant, our grant money, in 2007. But that resolution, CR, ends November 16th. So in a couple days, there'll be a second continuing resolution. And hopefully, that resolution will allow NIMS to fund grants. If they don't, we probably don't have money after beginning January 1st. So we're paying close attention to that, and I've been sending emails to Pat's deputy, Chris, and to Silver Spring and infoing John on the money situation. But we won't know anything for some time, I don't think. Probably not until some folks think we won't know the budget until March of 2007. A lot of the EDs have been around longer than I have, and they did a presentation. And when the councils first got going in 1997 and were funded in 1997, the budget was $10 million for eight councils. Some 30 years later, we're at 14.8. That's about a 25% increase, while the federal government and NIMS has gone up close to 250%. We've only gone up 25%. So we're woefully underfunded. The second thing I want to talk about is the other thing that was discussed at length was ending overfishing. All the council chairs were there, and NIMS spent a great deal of time during the 2 days to talk about ending overfishing. And they gave us several handouts about how the different regions are doing. And if you look at the West Coast or the Left Coast, there's no overfishing. If you look at the East Coast, New England, Mid-Atlantic, and South Atlantic, it's disastrous. And they did it very effectively with red and green. And it's all green on the West Coast, and on the East Coast, all red. There's just dozens of stocks that overfishing is continuing on, some 10 years after the passing of the Sustainable Fisheries Act. So I would not be surprised that if, in fact, there's an executive order that comes out, the administration wants, which is 2 years left, the administration wants to go out with no overfishing occurring. So I think we'll see an executive order or something that says enough is enough, end overfishing. So I think we ought to keep that in mind as we get PDT reports and other reports about overfishing continuing. And that's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Paul. NIMS.
Thank you. To follow up a little bit on the budget situation, we are, as Paul pointed out, working on a continuing resolution. Not only is it a continuing resolution, but it's a continuing resolution based on the House mark, which is somewhat unusual. And the House mark is much lower than our budget in previous years. And typically, the House mark is the more conservative of the two. The Senate mark is higher, and we end up somewhere in between. So we are operating in a situation right now in the agency where we're only doing priority travel. And Bill Hogarth has implemented a hiring freeze, and we're already down a few people. So if we go with a hiring freeze for any length of time, that will certainly impact on our operations. next, on the fish management side of the house, as I'm sure all of you are aware, the final rule implementing the measures approved in Framework 42 was published in the Federal Register on October 23rd. And so Framework 42 is going to become effective on November 22nd. The emergency measures that we'd put in place last May were extended to cover the period between when they were originally scheduled to expire and the implementation of Framework 42. In the leasing program, give you an update on where we are, days at sea leasing and multi-species. This is from May 1, 2006 through November 9, 2006. We had a request for over 295 days at sea leases. Of those, 228 were approved. The total days at sea leased at this point was 6,914.25. And the average cost of a days at sea lease right now is $326.61. On hagfish, you discussed this at the last council meeting, a request for a collection of information. We have since published a proposed rule in the Federal Register that was published on November 1st, proposing a collection of information requirement in the hagfish fishery. The comment period on that closes on December 1st. For summer flounder, since that's so controversial, I don't typically cover all the mid-Atlantic species here, but there is some interest in the Northeast, or in New England, rather. We published proposed specifications for the 2007 fishing year for summer flounder, scup, and black sea bass. They were published on October 27th, and the comment period on those is going to end on November 17th. We are proposing reductions in the quotas for those stocks, both over last year as well as over the recommendations of the council, in some cases the ASMFC, in particular for summer flounder, but also for scup and black sea bass. Amendment 1 to the herring FMP, the proposed rule, was published on September 27th. The public comment period on that closed on November 6th. And the decision date for that amendment is December 6th. Let's see, on the protected resources side, we've got an outreach meeting scheduled on the harbor porpoise take reduction plan measures, and outreach and education meeting scheduled for November 15th, which is Thursday. Tomorrow night, here, starting at 5:30 p.m. or following the adjournment of the council meeting. We will be publishing an emergency rule probably sometime this week that will make a technical correction to the final rule on the chain mat requirement. It's for scallop dredge gear. There were some technical errors in that rule. And this will correct those errors. We announced two dynamic area management actions for right whales recently. They were published in the Federal Register on this, or they will be published, sorry, in the Federal Register on the 16th. They'll become effective on November 18th and will be effective through December 2nd. These are temporary restrictions on the use of lobster trap pots and anchored gillnet fishing gear to protect right whales. One of the dynamic area management actions is located about 75 nautical miles northeast of Portland, Maine. And the second one is about 40 miles south of Portland, Maine. And let's see. And then lastly, I wanted to talk a little bit about our Northeast Region Coordinating Council meeting that we held on October 17th and 18th. We had representatives from both councils and the commission, the center, and, of course, the regional office. Jim Weinward will be talking. The primary agenda items for our fall meeting are the SAW scheduling and prioritization of actions for 2007 by each of the organizations. And Jim's going to talk in his report about the SAW scheduling issues, and I know we're going to, on the agenda later, is the discussion of priorities. Additional things that may be of interest to this council is we talked about the conversion from the Albatross to the Bigelow and the issues of calibration, and we decided that we requested the center to provide a prioritization of most to least impacted species in terms of that calibration, so that the councils can, if necessary, respond with respect to the management programs. And we've also asked, and then we're going to discuss that again at the spring meeting of the NRCC. In some cases, as you know, and I think we're going to talk about monkfish tomorrow, in some cases the management programs rely on the survey information, and that may be impacted as a result of the conversion to the Bigelow. Let's see. We've also discussed the continuing problems, I think, that everyone is having with respect to setting biological reference points for data poor stocks. And we've agreed that the center would take the lead on putting together a regional working group. Some of you may remember when the Sustainable Fisheries Act was implemented, shortly after that, the New England Council took the lead on putting together an overfishing working group to make recommendations on setting biological reference points for all the stocks, and it eventually included all the Mid-Atlantic stocks as well. We envision a similar type of working group to look specifically at data poor stocks, both from the scientific perspective as well as a management perspective, to make recommendations back to the councils. And we've requested the councils and the commission to provide a list of stocks that they perceive to be data poor that will be considered through this workshop. And then the last NRCC item was we talked a little bit about herring and next steps on herring. Since we had a successful U.S.-Canada joint assessment on herring this last spring or summer, early summer, the question that sort of raised the question of whether or not that implied we should continue to pursue further activity with the Canadians in terms of perhaps complementary management for herring. Typically, the track is the first step in those kinds of discussions. But our discussion at the NRCC meeting was that although we should continue to support the joint assessment, that there doesn't seem to be any reason at this time to pursue any kind of complementary management discussions with the Canadians. And I'd be interested in people's comments or comments on that, either here or outside the meeting. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Paul.
Pat, just a little more detail on the Bigelow and the Albatross. We had discussions primarily about continuing surveys for both groundfish and scallops and the impact of a delay in the availability of the Bigelow. It appears that it might not be online for some time, and if it isn't online, then the calibration is shortened because of budgets. There's not enough budget to continue with Albatross and with the Bigelow. So, you know, the calibration exercise of having more calibration, it appears there may be less because of delays in getting the Bigelow online, and that certainly has impact on our fisheries. So we wanted to know the most to least impact, as Pat said. Now, we've asked the Science Center to give us a report on the impact of the delay at our next meeting in April. That's a long way off. And we would get that report in June at our June council meeting. So I would say then, given that timeline, that our trawl survey committee should stay abreast of these issues and bring information to the council about delays and things like that.
So,
yeah, I agree with you, and we would gladly do so, but we probably should put it in the reports that we do so, because it's never, I don't think it's ever been listed in the actual reports that are put in from committee reports, so it should be put in there.
Jim.
Thank you. I was going to speak about this in my report, but since it came up, I'll address it now. The Albatross 4 operations have been extended until the autumn of 2008. That was a decision made by the Admiral. And there's a very high priority on his list on having both vessels around to do the calibration. So we have that extra year now. And the Bigelow will be coming north fairly soon, and everything is delayed, as you said. We expect to be developing protocols for cruises in the late spring of 2007, and then calibration cruises in the fall of 2007. But we will have both vessels then online for that next year.
Thanks. Anyone else? David, then Terry.
Pat, I had a couple questions on Framework 42. First of all, welcome back. Glad to see you you're feeling better. The first question is on the SkyMate is supposed to send us a disc to load into our VMS, and I don't believe anybody's seen one yet. We're running out of time. Is this still scheduled to go forward on November 22nd?
Yeah, Andy's here. I don't know whether he can speak to the issue. I hadn't heard there was an issue with getting the disc. So we are scheduled to go forward on the 22nd, but I'll try to find out more about what's going on, and I don't know whether Andy wants to comment to it at all.
Good morning. We are going forward on November 22nd. I don't know of a problem with the disc, but by the time I give my report, I'll have the answer.
Okay, very good. My second question is in the Federal Register document that we've got under Groundfish, it's number 2. It's a very specific question. It's on page 62194. Give people a chance to find it. The bottom left-hand column, and it's this question's been asked to me by a number of fishermen. We've gotten a letter from the VMS that says how to declare when you've caught 2 days' worth of cod. And at the bottom of this, it says, with the exception of vessels fishing in one of the 2 differential days at sea counting areas. And the letter says the same thing. So we don't know how we're supposed to do it for those of us who fish in the differential days at sea counting area. First of all, can you do it? Second of all, how do you report it? Third, how much time are you going to be charged, and when can you leave the dock to start another trip? Is it after the amount of time charged or what? So there's 4 questions there that I'd like to get answers to before the end of the council meeting. I don't expect them right away, but I don't know whether this is an oversight or there just isn't an example for the differential counting areas. But the deer permit holder letter we got says the same thing, with the exception of within the differential counting area. So those of us who are stuck in that area really don't know how to proceed.
Tell me again, David, where it is.
Page 62194.
Yep.
The bottom of the first column.
Okay.
The very last, I think it's got a 2 beside it. A vessel that has been called into or declared into only part of an additional 24-hour block may come in with the additional amount of cod, with the exception of vessels fishing in one of the 2 differential days at sea counting areas.
Okay. Andy, we'll get you the answer by the... No, just kidding. We'll get an answer.
Okay, because people just don't know how to proceed.
Terry, then Dennis.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chair. Pat, do you have an estimation of when the FEIS for the minute whale take reduction plan might be published?
Very shortly.
Dennis?
Yeah, Pat, I see that you have proposed specifications for summer flounder scup sea bass, but I kind of read through here and didn't read any numbers. We're looking at 12.9.
We are looking at 12.9, Dennis, in the proposed rule. If that would be the highest, and then depending on what the commission does, it may in fact be lower.
I understand that, having heard the commission discussion. Thank you.
Anyone else for Pat? General Counsel?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm pleased to report that there's been no litigation activity since our last meeting. The only thing that we have pending is the challenge by Commonwealth of Massachusetts to the emergency groundfish regulations, which are that lawsuit, as I reported last time, has a schedule for December-January timeframe for briefs being filed. And, of course, that the status of that lawsuit or the need for that lawsuit may be reviewed in light of the fact that Framework 42 is coming online very shortly and arguably supersedes the emergency. Thank you.
Any questions? Okay, moving on. Science Center.
Thank you. The first of all, some comments about the surveys. The autumn bottom trawl survey was completed on October the 26th, and some additional random stations were added to collect extra data on yellowtail flounder recruitment in southern New England and on the abundance and distribution of Georges Bank yellowtail flounder. And some stations were also added inshore in the Gulf of Maine. There were the data are not yet audited and released, as the survey was just completed a few weeks ago. I like to mention qualitative observations when people notice things on surveys. And this may or may not be true, but I since you're all interested, I thought I would mention it. Russ pointed it out to me that some qualitative observations were made of lower abundance of silver hake along the northern edge of Georges Bank and in the Gulf of Maine. And as I said, the data are not audited and released yet, but that's something that we'll definitely be looking into when the data become available. The herring acoustics research has been focusing on several collaborative research efforts. And one of the projects was successful at detecting concentrations of Atlantic herring at longitudinal distances of tens of kilometers. Moving on to the Bigelow, I already mentioned that the Bigelow is still delayed. We're expecting it to actually begin our initial calibration cruises in the fall of 2007. The ship itself will be transiting from Mississippi to Norfolk, Virginia, between Thanksgiving and the end of the year. And the Albatross 4 operations have been extended until autumn of 2008. And we are committed to doing the calibration between the two vessels, but this is still a budget issue in a number of people's minds. I think the cost is quite large of operating two vessels. But this is the news as I know it at this moment. Moving on to SARC scheduling, that is the assessment schedule for different stocks, we're preparing for the 44th SARC, which will take place in Woods Hole on the week of November the 28th. And we have three stocks or groups of species on that agenda, two clams, the ocean quahogs and surf clams, and then the skate complex. And I know the New England Council is interested in the skates, in particular with regard to the biological reference points. And I know the working group has spent quite a bit of time thinking about that and should come up with some interesting analyses for you to see. In June of 2007, we'll have SARC 45, and on there are northern shrimp, sea scallop, and black sea bass. And for black sea bass, the emphasis will mainly be on the getting a stock status determination and thinking about, again, the biological reference points. For SARC 46 in December of 2007, on the schedule are striped bass, wolffish, cusk, monkfish, and